Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, Rick Montgomery. During the broadcast, you'll learn the ins and outs concerning your mortgage and how to manage your finances when owning a home. Now, here's your host, Rick Montgomery, with Mortgage Talk.
It's nice to meet you. State Farm is here to from the Douglas Bradley II office, located at 8660 Bradley, Maryville, Indiana. We have the friendliest staff this side of heaven, anxiously waiting to serve you. Your needs become our priority. We are very prompt, professional, and courteous. We will keep you informed with up-to-date information when it concerns you and your family. We specialize in tailoring our products to your unique situation. The information you choose to share with us will be kept in restricted confidence. We look forward to growing with your family and the needs that develop. We spoil our customers. We will not take your business for granted. We represent State Farm, but we work very hard for you. Our team members are Agent Douglas Bradley II, Angela Harris, Deborah Murphy, Kenneth Payne. You can contact us at area code 219-756-3700. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there for you.
And credit score requirements like taxes, like I'm going to go to the next one.
Mortgage Bob. I'm Rick Montgomery, and that was Nick and Valerie, Nick Ashford, the late great Nick Ashford, and Valerie Simmons. Glad to be here with you guys here on Mortgage Talk, because we are on, man, I'm telling you, we are on Blog Talk Radio, because we are streaming, baby. We are streaming nationally throughout the internet. We're streaming worldwide. We stream to over 200 countries that is coming to their neck of the woods to bring them Mortgage Talk. And we are glad to be with you today on a Friday, a beautiful Friday, but cold in the Windy City, about 30 degrees as it's dropped from 35 to 30. We are feeling the taste of fall, which is a pre-taste of winter. I hate it. You know I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Man, I'm already missing 82 degrees and 97 degrees and 100. Already missing it already because I had to cut the heat on, baby. The heat, give me the heat. So now the air conditioning has to be stored away. Basically, the air conditioning is going into hibernation. So now we bring out the do what we do. Joining me, of course, in the studio is Dave the Man. He's our engineer here at WHPNN Radio Network. Glad to be with you guys here. I'm glad Dave is here with you just as well. And we are happy to be here. Had some interesting, terrible things that took place, but it got straightened out. I want to thank Bank of America for doing a great job doing that for me, straighten things out. It caused some delay on some things for me to take care of, if you know what I mean. And even handling things here, took something to take care of. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for a great thing that they have done for us there too, just as well. So, with that said, that's what's happening. Now, I want to talk about, because I said I can do the show in 30 minutes, and I can, and I'm going to. I want to talk about some interest rates today and go into a little details about interest rates, because this topic, basically what you saw out there, it says rates, it says index, it says margin, and it says term. So I'm going to talk about that with you today, okay? Now, interest rates is bought by banks. You know that. And not every bank pays the same. You know, sometimes they can buy a rate for 1.73 or 2.5 or whatever, and then they charge points on top of that, okay? So banks always going to make money, even on interest rate. Even if you know the margin and index and you know what they bought it for and you are trying to negotiate with them, especially with great credit, What's great credit? 900 great credit. Then, of course, you can do those type of negotiation with some people who do those type of negotiation. That's not what I'm talking about today, but I'm talking about qualifying. And, of course, qualifying goes into that, but I'm not going to touch on that today. I'm going to talk you about interest rate. So I chose a bank. I chose Bank of America. I am not a sponsor for Bank of America, nor does Bank of America sponsor Mortgage Talk, nor am I a spokesman for Bank of America, nor am I calling myself to be one of Bank of America. I just happened to choose a bank, and they just happened to be right there when I chose the bank to talk to you about what the rates close out today. That's it. Okay? That is all that it is. It is public information, so I'm just sharing information with you. So I'm not doing anything unethical. I'm just sharing information that they publicize. That's all I'm doing, okay? It could have been changed. It could have been any other bank. But it just so happened that was the information that was handed to me, and that's the information that I ran with, okay? Now, the interest rate that be talking to you about, the interest rate that qualifies for home loan mortgages and condominiums and is the interest rate that you will qualify for off of your credit scoring. Okay? You qualify off getting a interest rate from your credit scoring and also your DTI, debt to income ratio. That's what you qualify for. Okay? Your debt to income ratio plays a major role in helping you to qualify. It is based off of you know who, the leader of the pack. It is based off of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, but they're not exactly the leader of the pack, so it is based off of HUD. HUD is indeed the leader of the pack. They set the standards that everybody follows. That standard is set by FHA, okay? Everybody follows FHA. The debt-to-income ratio, the DTI, is 24 over 36. Now, what that means is that you take your monthly income that you earn on a monthly basis, your net monthly income, and your bills cannot or should not supersede 24%. And what you also do is that if what you're trying to buy, if you're buying a house or a condominium, whatever the payment is on that, you add that into with your monthly, and it should not supersede 36%, okay? That's the standard of banks. That's what banks go with. It should not supersede 36%, okay? If for any reason that it supersedes 36%, then they're not going to qualify you for that loan, okay? You won't get that loan because it superseded that, okay? Just to let you know, it cannot supersede that. That is the standard of mortgage companies. That's the standard of banks. Now, you do understand that banks do own these mortgage companies, too. Some banks do own them. Yes, they do. They own the secondary company, and they also own these mortgage companies that are primary. Insurance companies own them. Insurance companies own some even own their own banks, like State Farm Insurance, for an example. But they also own the mortgage company just as well, and they also own the non-conforming mortgage company just as well. Now, we're talking about interest rate based on primary rates, prime. We talk about prime today, okay? I'm not digging into non-conforming. I'm talking about prime. So my topic is all on prime. Now, what I want you to understand here is that this is how it is determined of what you qualify for, what you qualify for the interest rate, okay? So I'm going to talk to you about the going rates right now. rates that Bank of America has out today. Bank of America has for a 30-year loan 4.750. Now that's the interest rate. Let me just give you one more point here. When you think about points, because I'm going to talk about points in just a bit. When you think about points, it is not the traditional type points that we are accustomed to, like 1 point is 1 point, okay? 2 points is 2 points. Well, this is somewhat like that, but not quite like that in the mortgage industry. A point is considered 0.500. That is considered 1 point. 2 points is considered 1.0, okay? That is considered 2 points, right? Just to let you know that. So the interest rate for a 30-year loan closed out today, and rates, by the way, comes out 3 times a day, okay? It's played out the stock market. So it comes out between 9 and 10, and it comes out again a little after 12, and the final comes out around by 3, right before the market closes, okay? So it can fluctuate between that time. So if you're a qualified consumer, better known as an educated consumer, the best customer, before you get qualified, know what the interest rate that you may get qualified for, because I'm going to talk about locking rates, and that's what that's going to come back to. Because you don't want to lock a rate in, and then all of a sudden you don't close that loan, let's say in that 15-day time of a lock. I've never done a 15-day lock period, okay? I've always stretched it to 20, even though I may close less than 15. Better safe than sorry, because you have to pay for that rate. You have to pay for that lock. And if the broker fails to lock you on that time frame, now you got to come out of your pocket with some additional money, and you're not going to be happy with that. And neither will that particular broker, by the way, okay? So you should know as an educated consumer what you would qualify for prior to you locking in a rate, okay? Plus, not only that, you should be able to follow that, okay? You should be able to know how the rate may fluctuate up and down, because when you lock in a rate, you're locked in on that rate. So if that rate drops 2 days from that time, you don't get the drop rate because you locked it in. That's the purpose of locking, okay? Do you have to lock in a rate? Not necessarily. If you're qualifying for a low rate already, you don't really have to lock it in. It's an individual choice. It should not be a loan officer choice. It should be an individual choice. I know banks are very keen in on getting their clientele, not all banks, to lock in rates. So you don't have to run to lock in a rate, okay? Just a word of thought. Got to keep moving because we got a short time to work with. So, at a 30-year fix at 4.750, because anytime you give an interest rate, you have to give the APR. I didn't call it the estimate APR, even though Bank of America did print this out here for public notice to have, and this is what they stated. But I'm going to follow suit and say estimate, because sometimes things can fluctuate from here to there, okay? So they have an estimate APR of 4.927. They also have a point setting of 0.438. Now, is this the total cost of what the cost to do the loan, or is this a loan origination? That's where you can have to do your homework by contacting Bank of America and asking a loan professional, say, hey, look, yesterday I was following up, and I saw what you closed out with at 4.750, and I also saw the APR at 4.927 with the points being 0.438. Is that the total price for what you would do the loan for, or is that just a loan origination fee? Okay? So you need to know that, and you can ask that question, and they'd be more than happy to answer that for you, okay? Your APR, your annual percentage rate, is not your interest rate. However, it does conceive of your interest rate, but also of closing costs in a percentage form. That's how your APR is determined. Okay? So you can see the APR here, right, on the 30-year mortgage. They close out on a 20-year mortgage at 4.500, estimate APR 4.751, and a point of 0.535. Now, what is the difference of a 30-year and a 20-year besides the term? It's called terms, the length of time. Term is the length of time. Well, on the 30-year mortgage, you have 30 years to pay the mortgage. But here's something interesting. Let's take a look for this just as an example. For a loan of $100,000 with a payment of $535 a month, that's your mortgage payment, okay? That's your promissory note payment, okay? With escrow, okay? That's a non-interest-bearing account that will hold your insurance, homeowner's insurance, and will also will hold your property tax, okay? Let's just say that it's $200. So $200 from the $535 will leave you $335. That is your principal and your interest that you're paying, okay? Out of your principal and interest, your principal of what you're paying is only $75. $75. The remaining, well, that's the interest. Now, let's take a look at a 20-year mortgage. Same loan amount. On the 20-year mortgage, and just for my example, I'm going to keep the payments the same just to make my point, even though we do know on a 20-year mortgage with interest rate being just a tap under, you're probably, if I really want to play games with this one, maybe around by, let's say, 520 or 515 or something in that nature. But just for my example, humanly, just for my own example that I'm making, let's just say the payments are the same, okay? On a 20-year mortgage, you're paying more toward the principal than you are toward the interest because you have a shorter term, and you're paying more to pay it out sooner, so you're paying more toward the principal than you are toward than what you would be if you were on a 30-year mortgage. My own example, okay? $200 escrow, we know that. $335. Unlike the $75 for the 30-year, you're paying $150 on a 20-year, leaving the rest interest. Are you with me? Or am I by myself? I heard a wise man say. That is the difference on a 20-year, and it will go up on a 15-year, so you'll be paying even more on a 15-year mortgage, okay? And a lot of times people, when they refinance, they get done from paying, they move from a 30-year to a 20-year or to a 17 years that they have remaining on the first loan. And when they refinance, they pretty much think that they can take over from where they left off at, and that is not true. But it is true of a mortgage broker that understands what you're trying to do and can easily propose to you, Mr. Johnson, you know that we pay off that loan, so you're getting a new loan. But here's some good options and some good news for you. You can start off this new loan at a 15-year. So you'll start from 15 years you have remaining to pay out the loan. The interest rate is low, and I'm able to keep you very, very close or even less than what you were paying on that 30-year mortgage that you have 17 years now remaining. It makes sense? Of course it does. But a lot of mortgage professionals or loan professionals don't say that like that. They just say, hey, look, you got to start over, man. Okay? And sometimes that's a fear factor for people that are 60, 65, 57, okay? or retired people. Okay? Those are fifth factors of oh my God, the urge of starting over is just a fear. Well, don't have that fear because these terms can work for you. That's the purpose of me giving you the points of the interest rate that represent these terms, okay? Now, in this example here, to let you know, sometimes we like to double up on our payments. If you double up on, whether it's a 20-year, 15-year, 30-year, if you double up on the example payment that I'm talking about, 535, it's going to be divided as so stipulated in the contract in which you sign, which is the promissory note, okay? It's going to be just the way you agree to within the promissory note. If the promissory note has a rider or so stipulated in the promissory note that you cannot double up on payments, then you won't be able to do so. So you need to know that while you're signing at the closing date, okay? But if it doesn't have that in there and you double up on these payments, then the interest and the principal and the escrow is going to be taken out of there unless you stipulate it in a certified letter and certify, you know what I mean by that, and have it notarized and clearly stipulate with your name of how you signed the promissory note. You, if you, it was you and your wife, both of you guys' name is on there. Me, Sally Jew, and Sandy Dew, Huxtable, are suggesting that you, then you get the details, okay? Get the physical address, get the index number, and then get the stipulation of what you want. Do not add that with your regular payment. Make it separately and in a certified fund. And I know that when we're in the today's society where everything can be deleted from our credit cards and so forth, but open up your letter like that certified letter with certified funds in doing that. And then when you do that with the certified fund, then you can stipulate so much in the letter that on the next payment for the next month, you will be having it taken out of this particular credit card that you can list and then call in and do it that way upon agreement. Got me? Okay. Just want to say that, all right? So that's when you double up on your payments, remember what I said what your principal is? So if you're going to put $535 down, then make sure that $535, all of it is applied towards the principal, period. Principal slash principal only. Tear down the principal, the interest will fall, okay? So you want to stipulate that those funds are not being used to be put into to a non-interest-bearing account that's going to be used to apply to the principal, and then you will see quickly how you're paying out. Too often people do it under the contract way, and even though you are paying it down, but you're paying a little bit being applied. So why not apply it all in a legal form, principal slash principal only, and you get it done and get it paid up that fast, okay? Now, let me go through the rest of the rates because time is ticking on them. On a 15-year mortgage, Bank of America closed out at a 4.1250 with the estimated APR 4.447 and a point factor of 0.577. Again, you can ask them, is that the total closing cost or is that the long origination? I don't know. You know, do your homework diligently on that. On a 10-year ARM, it closed out at 4.375 with estimate APR of 4.888 and a point factor of 0.647. On a 7-year ARM, it closed at 4.125 and estimate APR at 4.904 and a point factor of 0.780. And on a 5-year ARM, it closed out at 3.75 with estimate APR of 4.905 and a point charge setting of 0.908. Question, what is a rate? A rate is a interest rate that is tied to a specified benchmark with late changes, meaning that it's fluctuating because it comes out three times a day, okay? And it can move up and down. It can be low when it first come out, between 9 and 10. Then it can go up by a quarter of a point or even a point at 12 o'clock. It can go up again on the final or drop down lower than what it did when it starts, okay? That is what interest rate is done, okay? Moving on. Index. Index is interest rate used in a variable rate credit pattern. Just real simple. Just real simple. That's what it is, okay? What is the difference between a margin and the index? A margin, however, is negotiated between the borrower and lender. It represents income to the lender. Index is a public interest rate which lenders use to measure the difference between the current interest rate on an arm and that earns by other investment. That's a pretty simple, very, very simple terms of explaining what an index and a margin is. I really go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1 and look about a year ago, maybe in 2016, I went into complete details on a margin, on an index, where it comes from, the history of it, how it works, what is an arm, what is a LIBOR. I went through that in great details. So you can follow that. We got over 570-some blogs, so you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1, the number one symbol, and go through that. Go back to the year 2016 and look forward there, and you will see it, and I go into great details. So you can get a very, very, very clear understanding of it. With time being short today, I had to cut it to get to leave you with it. And you know me, I hate doing it. I swear to God I do. So we're going to be talking about index and margin again, and I'm going to go a little bit more into details on index and a margin. But at least I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to tell you where to go because you're already here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. Thank you so much. And all you have to do is just go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1, number one symbol, and go back to 2016 and scroll down to all the blogs that we have done. And you may find something that you even like there too, just as well. But you can look for margins, index, LIBOR, okay? Because I talk about adjustable rates and make the comparison to adjustable rates. If you're on adjustable rate right now, listen, because my time is ticking. If you're on adjustable rates right now and you can finance, get out of that adjustable rate. Get out of it now. I know you're going to find a lot of different finance companies and mortgage companies are advertising to try to pull people off of off of fixed rate and get them on adjustable rates. Now, I'm telling you, this is not the time. I don't care what nobody say. This is not the time. It is not the time. Get yourself on a fixed interest rate. The rate is fixed. The rate is fixed. It never changed. It never changed. But, Ricky, I was on a fixed rate, and my mortgage went up. Your mortgage went up based off taxes, okay? If the taxes increase, your mortgage payment is going to increase because you have escrow, okay? If your insurance increased, your mortgage payment is going to increase. But your principal and your interest never increase. It's fixed. Okay? It is a level term. It's there. It's not going to change. Right? That's why you can lower your payments simply by lowering your taxes. Whenever tax exempts comes along, take advantage of it. You can also make comparison to homeowners insurance, get low cost homeowners insurance. And you're talking to a insurance rep right now. That's right. That's why I'm a licensed life and health insurance rep and casualty insurance rep. So that means that the homeowner's insurance just as well. So you can do that. You can make comparison, and you can get good reputable companies that can lower your mortgage payments. And that's how you get your payments lower too, by lowering your costs. But get off of that adjustable rate. get off and God for heaven, if you're on a LIBOR, a 6 month LIBOR, get up off of it. Please get some help. Somebody check him up with you. Quick claim most of the property. Do whatever you have to do. But get financed and get out of that. Get out of that. We don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen down the future. It could be another year. It could be another 2 years. You're going to wish that you had to take advantage of that situation. So get off adjustable rates and don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't go into the okey-doke and jump and move from a fixed to a adjustable. It's not wise. It's not good. Well, Ricky, it's low right now. I can probably finance this thing in 6 more months or 1 year and do it. Yeah, that's a possibility, but what happens if your job folds? Now what you going to do? What happens if you get laid off? What happens if your income get cut in half because you have to downsize, your job downsize? Saying to another department because you've been there for a while, so I'm going to let you go, but they got to give you a different job that pays you less money. Your debt ratio now is going to be higher because you don't have the income anymore. So now you're not going to qualify, okay? Unless you got a crystal ball or some good money stored away, you can do it. Now, become a bank for yourself. Become a bank. Be a bank. How can I be a bank? All right. To be a bank, you should know about a whole life policy. A whole life policy is creating wealth. You can create your own wealth. You see, insurance is just not for the dead people. It's for the living. It's for you, too. There are living benefits that can earn you 4%, 5%, 7.06% and up on your money for living benefits. You can start drawing it in the 3 years as it builds up. You see, insurance is not that high. It's very inexpensive. It is so inexpensive to it's unbelievable. How unbelievable? Unbelievable to a point that a young lady at the age of 24 years old, I got her a whole life insurance policy, okay, with living benefits in it for just $17. You hear me? Just $17.95, okay, with no health issues at all. That is term payments. Term policies is for death benefits only. That's what it is. Death benefit only. Whole life is creating wealth. Living benefits. You can add a retirement rider to it. You can develop it and become a bank. You can utilize it. You get more money into the policy than you are in a bank. Bank gives you what, 0.1%, 0.2% of your money, and you got to pay taxes too? And then loan the money out at 18% to somebody else, where you're going to earn 4 to 5 to 7.6 or more on your money in your policy as a private contract that you have with the insurance company. And guess what? If anyone wants to sue you, they can't sue you for that. And if you borrow from yourself, which you could borrow putting up your policy as a collateral point, you're borrowing from yourself. It doesn't count against your debt ratio. So if you need to borrow money somewhere else, you can do that too. And it doesn't count against your debt ratio. Isn't that something? There's a lot of positiveness in creating wealth. And one of the key points of creating wealth is insurance and annuity. You need to stop and take a look. Because a lot of you are looking, where can I put my money? How can I hike my game, more returns on my money? You know you're not going to do it at a bank. We have been so bamboozled on the banking part of putting our money there, thinking that we are saving and watching the savings go, but we are getting no, but our money's not making money. We're paying them to hold our money because we're paying what? Taxes on it. But the interest that you earn in a whole life policy or a index universal life policy or a UL policy is tax deferred, and the money that you put in is tax free. If you decide to take it out years down the road, all of it, or surrender the policy, you're only going to pay interest on the. I mean, you're only going to pay taxes on the interest accrued, and you're still going to come out of there on top. Isn't that something? Think about it. Create wealth for yourself. And stop letting your money just stay somewhere else that's not working for you. Put them dollars to work for you in a coverage safe and get a policy tailored to your needs. You want to know about more of it? You hear me a lot on Mortgage Talk. You know I'm 100% dedicated to any and everything that I do. Contact me at 708-577-0328. That's 708-577-0328. Let's talk. You can't do, you make the final call. I'll show you. I'll answer your questions. I'll give you illustrations so you can see how your money can make money for you. Stop that procrastinating. Stop thinking about your family. Because if you're saying no, then you're saying no to your family. What have you done lately besides work hard and put your little money in the bank? But is your money making money for you the way it's supposed to be doing? Poor people put money in bank and it just sits there and they pay interest on it. People that understand the content understands that paper is really not money. That fiat currency is just not money. It's just a means of exchange. So they want to become part of the wealth. And to be part of that wealth, you need to be talking and having your money making you money and pushing you toward that 100 plus a year category. You need to be in that and think about that. Or you can continue to play where you are now. Make a difference in your life. Make a difference in your real estate. Get out of that adjustable rate. Don't stay there. Get to a fixed rate. Refinance if you're able to do so. Improve your property. Understand that if you have a three-bedroom that's on the upper level and you have a basement with a bedroom down there, your house is not a four-bedroom house. It is a three-bedroom house with a one-bedroom below grade. You get credit, but you don't get full credit that you have got if it was four bedrooms above grade. So these are the things you need to know to improve on your property value. Changing a one-car garage into a two-car garage. Taking a one-and-a-half bath and making it a two-full bath or two-full bath and one-and-a-half bath to help bring and increase equity for you in your property. Cosmetic work helps out too, but nothing like what I'm talking about, okay? It's just a beauty to sell. Give you little points. That's not all that you got to do, okay? Well, that's it for me on Mortgage Talk. I appreciate you guys so much. Love you guys a lot. Thank you, Block Talk Radio. You have been fantastic as always. We indeed happy to be part and be on Block Talk Radio. We'll be back next Friday